Last week's sermon was about greed. This week I want to talk about one of the end results of greed is worry and fear and frustration and anxiety and all of the things that they tell you in the ads that you see on television for medicine that's going to be good for you, all the things that it will cause if you take it. Holy Toledo. And we worry. People worry about everything, don't you? Don't you? Sure you do. And I know people worry about stocks and worry about investments and worry about the market. I know that. And I think we worry about family concerns, don't we? Don't we worry about family concerns? And don't we worry about something in our own life that seems so insurmountable that we don't know how we're ever going to get over the mountain? And we worry needlessly over a lot of stuff. Usually it's small stuff. And how many of you lose sleep over worry? Yeah, be honest. Stuff gets on your mind and you just can't erase it and you worry. I was talking to somebody this week. He says, aren't you worried about Social Security? No. And I don't think there's anything to worry about. If you don't get it, you won't. Right? And someone else said, isn't it a shame that they don't have apples they had when I was little, and I look at the bags of apples in Publix, and they look just like apples that I remember. They have names I don't know, really. And Barbara was pointing out something she was reading in the paper about new apples that are going to be out this fall. What was the one name? I forget, some kind of something. And she said, well, we try it, and I doubt it. If I don't know the name, I'm not going to try the darn thing. Worry. And people worry about a lot of things that they have no control over at all. We don't. I heard somebody at a meeting I was attending worrying because of climate change. Do you know what the rising ocean's going to do to Miami? Yeah, make it Venice, and we'll have one in our country. And if it gets too high, it won't be. Worry. Well, you know that the whole United States could be flooded by 2080. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not. I'm lucky to worry about 2017. You know, when I was a kid, kids worry about everything. It was World War II. Dad had just gone into the service. A cousin had been killed. Two neighbor boys had been killed. And I was just very upset. I remember it because that's when I was crying, and my grandma came in, and she sat on my bed in that little room at 12th Street in Wellsburg, West Virginia. And she held me, and she said, you don't need to fret. Things will work out. Don't fret. That's not a theological term, by the way. But I used it when I was in seminary. Some people never heard it before. Don't fret. I think that's what we're looking at in terms of the lesson today. And it's a good idea to look at Luke and see what he has in mind. And what our Lord had in mind when he was talking a long time ago. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 34. And you see, we're just following suit from last week's scripture about the fellow who took care of his barns. Okay, don't worry. I think a good thing here should have been, don't fret. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or worry about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into a fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Grandma said, don't fret. Don't fret over the things you have no control. Don't fret over stuff. Don't fret over. That's what Jesus had in mind. Don't fret over anything at all. Don't worry. I'll bet you those disciples were worriers. I'm just pretty well certain that they were, because they weren't sure exactly where Jesus was going with all of these teachings. They saw the miracles now, up to this point. But remember, they had no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week. How can we plan? We never know with Jesus what's going to happen next. Don't fret. Don't worry. I imagine those early Christians often found themselves in the worry pool because they really didn't have much really to look forward to when you think about society at that time, and you think about the things they had and didn't have, and think about food, which they did and didn't have, and clothing, which they had and didn't have, and they had a lot to worry about. We're indeed blessed in more ways than we can say. Someone said to me this morning, I've been blessed, and yes, you don't mind if I say that, Gail, do you? No. Blessed because of healing from shingles. And you bet that's a blessing. Jesus did tell us to do our best. Leave the rest up to God. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Don't worry about it. God will take care of everything. You know, when Jesus spoke about the lilies of the field, he was referring to flowers that blossomed after a rain in that very arid land. And they come up like miracles and they grow and it was beautiful. But then it became very hot again and they died. And then overnight What did they do? Nothing left. The plant, along with other dried weeds, were used in the oven. They were used because it was dry and it was very much available. And what else did they have? No electricity to turn on the oven or gas to turn on the oven. Or they had to make heat to cook, to eat. Weeds. Now, the flowers were beautiful for a little while, but they became nothing more than just material for a fire. So don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry because it's temporary. That example, along with the ravens, the birds particularly, is something that affects all of us. We count more than birds, don't we? Yes, you're more than a bird. The example along with the birds and the flowers, they understood what he was talking about. Don't fret. Don't fret. What's all this non-worry leading up to? What's it leading up to when we look at the stories that Jesus is telling? He wanted those disciples and he wanted those in hearing distance to concentrate really on what is important and what isn't important about your life. He wanted us to concentrate on God's kingdom in the here and now, the very moment, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not next century. His ideal was for us to make this life that we lead, just about as perfect and wonderful as we could make it, because it's God's kingdom. Don't fret. You know, looking around us, it's evident we have a long way to go when we look at our world today. We should be content as Christians to say, let God take charge. After all, it's God's will that leads us where we are, but we insist on doing things our own way all the time. If you don't do it my way, you're wrong, we think. And it's not true. We need to be together. We should aim for a lasting peace, not war, not hate. We should aim for love and forgiveness, not hatred and prejudice, not anger and petty thinking, petty thinking about one another. We should work for the things that last and will continue to benefit humankind after we leave this earth. This is what Jesus is trying to get through to his disciples. They're thinking, you see, they're thinking. But don't worry about it. Don't worry about the small stuff or even the large stuff. I want you to note the remainder of this lesson that I read to you from Luke. We're in the world, would he think of some of these things, and yet in the time of Christ, things weren't as plentiful as we have today. What in the world was he talking about in terms of the clothing? And you see, they didn't have a lot of clothes. They didn't, and it wasn't important. I grew up on the Ohio River, literally. And I've told you before that we were used to floods. And I was thinking about it, really, this morning, of all things. when Christ was talking about the clothes that are there, if you've got enough to wear, fine. If you don't, well, it's going to be a problem. But I remember the closet in my grandparents' bedroom was about this wide. It was just about that deep. Grandpa had his suit, his top coat, his summer hat, and his winter hat, and his Sunday shoes. I don't know what Grandma had, because she always wore a house dress. And she had her Sunday dress and her Sunday suit, and she always had those who were on the other side of that closet, which couldn't have been as long as this pulpit. Because if the water was coming up on a flood, we had to move everything quickly out of the house, so we didn't have much inside either. And what you left was ruined by the flood, you just threw it away. That included clothing. What Jesus is talking about here, what's important to you? What's important to you that the moths won't consume or the floods destroy? What's important to you? Stuff. But if you clothe your life in honor, integrity, love, forgiveness, hope, purity, there's nothing in the world that's going to destroy you or those around you. We need to fix our lives on the eternal, not the external. Don't fret. Jesus had that very thing in mind, I am convinced, when he was trying to get through to his disciples, when he knew it was just about over. They were around the table eating. The meal was over. They were chatting. And Jesus said at the end of the meal, I'm going to be leaving you. This is my body that's broken for you. Don't fret. It's my body. Broken for you. And he did the strangest thing. He took a cup and he poured it and said, you know, this is the new covenant. In my blood that's poured out for everyone, for the forgiveness of sins, and as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show my presence. Don't fret. I'm with you. Always. Do it remembering me. God, our Father, we're grateful for this day and for your love. We're grateful even more for your sacrifice in Christ, reminding us that your love, indeed your forgiveness, your hope, your strength, never ends through us, for Christ. Amen.